most trusted and connected man in Utah.
Coalition leader and senior vice president at Big D Construction, Forrest McNabb.
Doug, thank you so much.
Doug Wright.
What is a solution that helps people in need and also provides a safe environment?
The Doug Wright Show on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Free community college is possible. I want to spread that idea all across America so that 2 years of college becomes as free and universal in America as high school is today.
You know, last night as I was listening to the State of the Union message, when I had a chance, I would just quickly jot down some of the things that were proposed. Higher tax on the wealthiest Americans, free community college, as we just heard there. Minimum wage increases, paid sick leave, child care assistance, free and open internet, and Cuba embargo. You know, list went on and on. Some things I was much warmer toward than others, but every single thing I kept going, wow, that sounds cool, but how do we pay for it? Gee, that sounds great, but how do we pay for it? Now, there's a good idea, but how do we pay for it? And boy, and even the president acknowledged that. Even when he was talking about those on both sides of the aisle agree on something, what usually puts it on the rocks is how to pay for it. And boy, that just kept resonating. It all sounded good, you know, just like that junior high school speech. We are going to have root beer in every drinking fountain, and we are going to, you know, how do you pay for it? And how do you actually make it happen? I wanted to get the response of Utahns on both sides of the aisle today. Former Salt Lake County Mayor Peter Caroon and Democratic leader in the state of Utah will be joining us just right after the beginning of the next hour at 10:20. But right now we have our Jason Chaffetz, who is joining us on the line, 3rd District Congressman. And Jason, first of all, thanks for joining us and your first blush response as you were listening to the speech last night.
Well, thanks, Doug. I appreciate being on. I felt like it was really hyper-partisan. I mean, it was literally a laundry list of some liberal programs that, as you pointed out, you know, hey, let's go do this, this, and this. And, you know, a $320 billion tax increase, some $30-plus billion to pay for everybody's community college, and the list just kept going on and on. Yeah, there's some things that I agree with the president. Most of them I don't. But if he was trying to reach out across the aisle and build unity, he didn't. I mean, the hope and promise of Barack Obama as one that can unite the red states and the blue states, that is so far come and gone, and it got worse last night, but not better.
There were all kinds of messages built in here that basically, if we refight this battle, I'll veto it. There were places, and this was on climate change, that if Congress is going to try to turn back the clock, you know, we'll veto this, we'll fight this, or I think he said, I won't allow Congress to turn back the clock. I don't have the exact verbiage here in front of me. But for those who thought, and I've heard this from some, that it was pretty benign. It was this and this. Maybe it didn't directly put an olive branch out there, but overall it was pretty benign. Boy, there were some interesting don't do this or type parts of that speech.
Well, it was somebody noted it was the first, he set an all-time record for the number of veto threats that he threw out there. And like, there's got to be some recognition that the last two elections have been overwhelming landslides in favor of Republicans, not only sweeping the House, but making a major change in the Senate. And yet I can point to little to no things where he literally was reaching out and trying to find some common ground. I think the only trade promotion authority was about the only time where he had Republicans out clapping the Democrats. And if that's your go-to point after an hour of speaking, it didn't necessarily go very well for the president last night.
You know, I mentioned when Barack Obama was first elected, and I reiterated it when he was last elected, that I was really going to try, as a Republican, to not do to this president what Democrats did to President George W. Bush, to the point where he could do nothing right.
Right.
And, you know, the joke among Republicans was, good grief, the president could stand up there and say that he had personally discovered the cure for cancer, and he would be resoundingly criticized for it by the other side. I've tried not to do that, but I have been no fan of President Obama, and I did not vote for him. But at the same time, I've tried, almost bent over backwards, to look for places of some common ground. You mentioned that there are a few things in the speech that did resonate with you. You and I have talked about Cuba before. I liked what you said. You know, American citizens should be able to travel anywhere they want. And we certainly have used reaching out and being the bigger person. Richard Nixon did it. Many others have done it. I liked it when he said it's really time to end the embargo on Cuba. And after 50 years, when something doesn't work, it might be time to try something new.
Right. And right now, as a United States citizen, you are prohibited by your federal government from traveling to Cuba. It's the only nation on the face of the planet that you're prohibited from going to. You can go to North Korea. You can go to Russia, China. You can go wherever you want, right, except Cuba. And to me, it's a freedom issue. Our federal government should not be dictating to me where I can go or not go. If I want to go there, I can go there. And so I agree with the president that it's time to lift that travel ban. And I was glad to see Alan Gross, who was held captive there for, about 5 years or so, has been released. But the other parts of it I have some questions about. But again, there's something that I actually agree with the president on. I think Mike Lee and I also stood up, and there was just a quick mention about engaging in the reform of the criminal justice system. And I know Senator Lee's done some good stuff on that. We've done some good stuff on that, and I have a prison reform bill that I think would improve the process, very conservative in its approach, and yet has wide bipartisan support. And so, but those were but two things, and maybe took up, 45 seconds of the speech, but the rest of it, I think we'd go back and look at the State of the Union, because I don't know that it's serving the function that it was once intended to do.
You know, really, when I look at the way President Washington, who delivered his personally, was conducted, I look at President Adams, I look at President Jefferson, who decided that it was too reminiscent for him of the speech from the throne by monarchy, so he wrote his, and it was, I think, read by a clerk to the representatives of Congress. It's been in various forms and various renditions, and you do wonder, has it just become a highly politicized campaign? Many people look at this as a campaign speech for 2016 for Democrats. It is required by the Constitution, but certainly not yearly, certainly not in that form. From time to time, the president will basically report on the State of the Union. You wonder what the future of this speech truly is. Plus, when a president is newly elected, as was the case with George Herbert Walker Bush in 1989, President Clinton in 1993, George W. Bush in 2001, and this president in 2009, it's not even really quite officially a State of the Union message. It's interesting how it's broken down. It's billed as an address to the joint session of Congress by the president.
No, it was about 2-3 minutes of the true State of the Union. Here's where we're at. Here's some metrics. But then the other 55 minutes or whatever it was is basically a political speech. And look, a dialogue between a president and the Congress, I think that's a good and healthy thing, but I just thought it was an opportunity to say, listen, I'm here for 2 more years, and here are some things where we can work together. But I didn't see it, I didn't feel it in the room. There wasn't a good list of things. I just we should be very united. Things like terrorism, but the president's suggesting that we're winning this war, and boy, all you got to do is turn on one of the television news programs, and you can see that what's happening in Yemen and Libya and in Paris, and this is a real fight, and we should be united, Democrats and Republicans, on this one, and very supportive of a president. But does he go there? Does he utter the words, radical Islamic terrorism? No, he doesn't. He tries to persuade people that we're winning and that things are great, and they're not. And it's very frustrating and very concerning.
It's interesting that some of the various fact-checking, whether it was Politico or ABC News or whatever, they mentioned some of those very things. They said, what's the definition of combat? Tonight, for the first time since 9/11, our combat mission in Afghanistan is over. And this is from Politico. Well, actually, the bullets are still flying in Afghanistan. Yeah. And then they went on to say, but there's little doubt those missions that we are still involved in will involve what almost anyone would consider combat. So it's an interesting exercise. There's a lot of pomp and circumstance to it. Jason, before we wrap up our conversation, as you look now, we've got everybody sworn in, we've got the State of the Union over. What's going to be on the president's desk? What will really test this relationship between this president and the newly elected Congress?
Well, Keystone Pipeline will eventually, I think, make its way through the Senate to the president's desk. That, in terms of timing, is probably right near the top. But remember, also, by the end of February, we have to get through a funding bill for Homeland Security. So the border security issues, we in the House have a border security bill that will be up, so there'll be some of that. And then we do hope, but led by Paul Ryan, that there will be a tax reform package that we can move through the process. That'll take a good part of the year to get through, but that has the opportunity of being bipartisan and really really affecting how we do business in the United States of America. I'm very optimistic about it. I haven't seen all the details of it, but we need tax reform. The definition of it, we'll have to work that out. So,
Jason, I really appreciate you joining us this morning. Thanks so much for being part of the show.
Oh, thanks, Doug.
Representative Jason Chaffetz, our third congressional representative here in the state of Utah. Let's take a break. We'll come right back with more of today's Doug Wright Show. By the way, we get a Democratic point of view on the State of the Union address with former Salt Lake County Mayor Peter Caroon and leader of the Democratic Party in our state.
You have to have the access to get the answers.
Do you have any idea on timeline when some of these folks will have some answers?
Trusted. Connected. Doug Wright on KSL News Radio.